ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 6, entitled Brahma Satisfies Lord Shiva, Text 37. Upavistanda Bhamayam Brisham Brahma Sanatanam Naradaya Prasochantam Naradaya Pravochantam Prichate Srin Satam Satam Prichate Srin Vatam Prichate Srin Vatam Satam Upavistam Dabamayam Prisham Brahma Sanatanam Naradaya Pravochantam Prichate Srinvatam Satam Upavistam Dabamayam Prisham Brahma Sanatanam Naradaya Pravochantam Prichate Srinvatam Satam Upavistam Seated. Dava Mayam. Made of Dava, straw. Brisham. On a mattress. Brahma. The absolute truth. Sanatanam. The eternal. Naradaya. Unto Narada. Pravochantam. Speaking. Prichate. Asking. Srinvatam. Listening. Satam. Of the great sages. Translation purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. He was seated on a straw mattress and speaking to all present, including the great sage Narad, to whom he specifically spoke about the absolute truth. Please repeat. He was seated on a straw mattress.
He was seated on a straw mattress.
And speaking to all present.
And speaking to all present.
Including the great sage Narad.
Including the great sage Narad.
To whom he specifically spoke about the absolute truth.
To whom he specifically spoke about the absolute truth.
Purport. The Lord was sitting on a mattress of straw because such a sitting place is accepted by persons who are practicing austerities to gain understanding of the absolute truth. In this verse, it is specifically mentioned that he was speaking to the great sage Narad, a celebrated devotee. Narad was asking Lord Shiva about devotional service, and Shiva, being the topmost Vaishnava, was instructing him. In other words, Lord Shiva and Narad were discussing the knowledge of the Veda. But it is to be understood that the subject matter was devotional service. Another point in this connection is that Lord Shiva is the supreme instructor and the great sage Narad is the supreme audience. Therefore, the supreme subject matter of Vedic knowledge is bhakti or devotional service. Translation: He was seated on a straw mattress and speaking to all present, including the great sage Narad, to whom he specifically spoke about the absolute truth. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshum Malatam Dina Tasmashi Gurudevinama. Of my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has opened my darkened eyes with the causeless knowledge, this causeless transcendental knowledge, of my respectful obeisances unto him. So this is a very powerful conversation between two of the greatest personalities in the whole creation. Lord Shiva, who's known as Vaishnavana Mitasambhu, he's the greatest of all devotees. And Narada Muni, who is also one of the greatest devotees. They are two of the knowers of religious principles, states in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Svayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Komara, Kapalo, Manu, Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, Bali, Vayasiki, Vayam. There's 12 great personalities who know the religious principles and who know the ultimate goal of life, who know the absolute truth, who know the real meaning, especially in this human form of life, the ultimate goal, to be engaged in loving devotional service to Krishna, make our solutions to all the problems of material existence and go back to the spiritual world. So such personalities, Svayambhu Vamanu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, Bhishma Dev, Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj, any others I didn't state? Palad Maharaj. So these are the great personalities who know completely the absolute truth and know the process of devotional service perfectly. So such a powerful conversation, a very auspicious environment, Lord Shiva taking the place of the teacher, and Narada Muni, even though he's such a great personality and knows fully the absolute truth and that all the Vedas, and he preaches constantly Krishna consciousness, traveling all throughout the universes, he himself is humbly taking the position of a student. As Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Shiva is the supreme instructor and sage Narada is the supreme audience. So Srila Prabhupada says this position that Lord Shiva took, sitting on a straw mattress, is accepted by persons who are practicing austerities to gain understanding of the absolute truth. So this is the business of human life, is actually to perform austerities, not to engage in sense gratification. The non-devotees, those who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, they're not trained to control their mind and senses. So their whole life is a business of sense gratification, simply like the animals. But actually human life is meant for self-realization, beginning with austerities. And Srila Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, our main austerities are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Following the four regular principles, no meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex or gambling. So these austerities are conducive for purifying the consciousness, controlling the mind and senses, and awakening devotion and love to Krishna and being engaged in devotional activities. So the one of the most important aphorisms in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, Tata Brahma Gigyasha, now that we have achieved this human form of life, one should inquire, who am I? Who is God? What is the goal of life? What are my duties in service to the absolute truth, to Krishna? And where do I go beyond this life? We should be asking these questions. But unfortunately, the mass of people we do not see, they don't even ask these questions. What to speak of, take up the process of devotional service, especially in Kali Yuga, it's very rare. Manushyanam sahasrishu, Out of many thousands among men, only one may endeavor for perfection. Out of those who achieve perfection, hardly one knows Krishna in truth. Most people are acting simply like animals. But Lord Rishabhdev in the fifth canto, he says, Nayam deho deho bhujam nraloke kasan kamat ahate vibhujam le. Tapo divyam putrukat yena sattvam sudyet yasmat brahma sokyam tunantam. He says, my dear boys, out of all living entities who have achieved a material body, one who has been awarded this human form of life should not labor hard day and night for sense gratification, which is available for the hogs and dogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service, and when one is situated in such a position, he becomes completely peaceful and happy. So this human body is a wonderful machine. Just like if you get any machine, you get a computer, an iPad, a car. There's a set of instructions on how to use it, how to fully benefit from using that machine. And you may get a computer, you may think, well, you know, I've got some walnuts or some macadamia nuts, let me use that computer to crack the nuts. You just wasted $2,000 or $3,000. You smashed the computer. So people are smashing this human form of life, wasting it, like for rock breaking. Just like in prison, the prisoners, they have to, because of their sinful activities, their crimes, they have to break rocks. They have to do hard work, crack rocks. So people are working hard just for sense gratification and cracking rocks, completely misusing this human form of life, not understanding that in the next life they will receive a suitable body to fulfill their desires. And because they're acting on the animalistic platform, they will receive an animal body. People who sleep too much, basing their life on sleeping, a bear's body, as the picture in the Bhagavad Gita, right? They get a bear's body. That's the consciousness they're creating. If they eat too much, get a body of a pig. If they, you know, like to be naked and show off their body, then get a tree's body. If they engage in too much sex life, then there's the hog's body or the dog's body. And they can fulfill their desire to without restriction. But this human form of life is very, very rare. It's the greatest opportunity, and if we miss this opportunity to perform austerities and attain this divine position of devotional service, as Lord Shiva is teaching Narada Muni, Krishna consciousness, and engaging all our senses in Krishna's service and ultimately going back to the spiritual world, if we miss this opportunity, again we have to go through the 8,400,000 species of life. Very unfortunate modern human society that they're missing this opportunity, that they don't understand. They're not taught in the universities and colleges. Like Srila Prabhupada said, where is the university and college that is teaching the difference between the body and the soul, this most basic knowledge? What to speak of understanding their relationship with Krishna and their their duties in relationship with Krishna, and how they can attain the topmost planet in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And Goloka Vrindavan is transported right here to this earth planet, even in Kali Yuga. Goloka Premadana Hari Nama Sangatana Rati Najan Milokinatai. This process of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. It's directly transported in Kali Yuga to this earth planet. But we're so unfortunate that we don't have a taste for this chanting or this Krishna consciousness. Just like I was speaking to my friend who's traveling with me, Gopal Prabhu from Vrindavan, from the 24-hour Kirtan party. We were seeing many people. We were working outside Crossways distributing books yesterday. And we were trying to engage some of the people who were coming out of the door, some of the people who were going into Crossways, and some of the people who were coming out after Prashadam. And we were simply amazed that even a lot of those people, we were thinking, oh, they've got a full belly of Prashadam, they must be purified, must be really happy, they'll easily take a book. But many of them, they weren't interested, you know. Many people, they take Prashadam for years and years and years, but the penny doesn't drop. They don't... Of course, Prashadam is very, very purifying, and eventually they will wake up. and make more advancement in Krishna consciousness. But many people, they're so covered that it takes many, many years of taking prasadam, and still they don't show interest in engaging in devotional service or understanding the absolute truth. But still, prasadam is the secret weapon. Srila Prabhupada was talking with his disciples once, and all the disciples were admitting, yes, Srila Prabhupada, we mainly came to Krishna consciousness because of prasadam. Even the big temple presidents and gurus were stating like this. So, of course, we can't imitate these great personalities like Lord Shiva and Narada Muni. But we can follow in their footsteps. Mahajano Yena Katasa Panta. Follow in their footsteps by taking up their instructions in our life. How to be properly situated in devotional service. Engaging all our senses in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, as much as possible. And that takes a lot of training. Takes a lot of training. It's not an overnight process. It's not a simple process. It can take years and years and years to be at that point where we can be always thinking of Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, constantly 24 hours looking for service to engage our senses in Krishna service. But as Maharaj Ambarish says, he quotes that verse, engaging all the senses in Krishna. How does it, what's the Sanskrit? Savai mana Krishna padara vindiyo vaichamsa vaikuntha gunana vana name. The perfect example was Maharaj Ambarish. He engaged his tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and preaching Krishna consciousness. He engaged his eyes in taking darshan of the beautiful deity forms of the Lord. His ears in hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and the holy names. His nose in smelling the flowers and incense offered to Krishna. His mind in thinking how to glorify Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna. His feet in walking to the temples of the Lord, and his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the devotees. So in this way we can, these great personalities are wonderful examples how we can fully engage our senses, immerse ourselves fully in Krishna consciousness. So there's no room for Maya. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, when you fill up a cup with milk to the top, right to the brim, even if you put some ink in, it won't sink in. But if the cup's half full of milk, then you put the ink, it will go in. So if our cup is full of Krishna consciousness, then there's no room for Maya. So we have to be very careful as aspiring devotees that we don't fall victim to Maya. Maya is the divine energy of Krishna. Daivihiya shugunamai mama maya darachiya. Krishna says this divine energy is consisting of the three modes of material nature. It's very difficult to overcome. But those who are situated in devotional service, they can easily cross beyond this ocean of material existence. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the water contained in the footprint of a calf. It's very easy to cross over. But the big ocean is very difficult, practically impossible to swim. Even if you're the most expert swimmer, you cannot swim across the Atlantic Ocean. But if you're picked up by a suitable boat, the boat of Krishna consciousness, with a suitable captain, the spiritual master, and the favorable winds, the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then you can easily cross to the other side of the ocean material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. So when you take to Krishna consciousness, you surrender to Krishna, then it's like the ocean material existence becomes reduced to like the water and the hoofprint of a calf, very easy to cross over. So we have to constantly realize our great fortune, being in Krishna consciousness, what wonderful gift Srila Prabhupada has given us, that we can engage in these wonderful processes 24 hours a day, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's very purifying, very enlivening, very ecstatic. And gradually one awakens one attachment and love for Krishna by simply this chanting process. It's the Yuga Dharma, the process for achieving perfection in the age of Kali. Dancing in ecstasy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes this simple process, chanting, dancing in ecstasy. We just had the kirtan a few minutes ago. Wasn't it ecstatic? And the more we chant and dance, the more ecstatic we become. Taking prasadam. What a wonderful activity. Every day we look forward to taking prasadam again and again. And it's like it's nectar at every step. It gets better and better. We never get sick of prasadam. We never get sick of chanting. As long as we're sincere and purifying our hearts, then we never get tired of these activities. The wonderful opportunity to take darshan of the beautiful deities and the wonderful devotees who have spent so much time and energy and devotion and love engaging in serving the beautiful deity forms of the Lord. This is the wonderful gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, also the wonderful deities that we can take shelter, pray to, engage in service to, and appreciate the service of other devotees who have done so much wonderful service for their pleasure. Reading Srila Prabhupada's books, this is a very ecstatic, dynamic, ever enlivening process. Every day we have the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, hear realizations from devotees on this philosophy, and we should take time as much as possible to read this book. Srila Prabhupada says his only criticism was devotees don't read my books enough. He said it's not good enough just to distribute my books. Devotees are thinking I've written my books just for distribution, but Prabhupada said it's more important for the devotees to read and imbibe this philosophy. Not that we give up distributing this knowledge, but we have to make a concerted effort to imbibe this philosophy every day. And taking shelter of the temples of the Lord, the wonderful association of devotees, it's very purifying, very enlivening, very ecstatic. The greatest souls in the universe we have right here in this room. So all these things are very, very powerful. The five most powerful limbs of devotional service: chanting the holy name, engaging in hearing in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mathura Vas, living in a holy place, Sri Murti Sevaya Shraddha, worshipping the deity with great faith and reverence. And what's the other one? Association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha. So if we engage in these activities every day, these are very powerful, the most powerful ways to make spiritual advancement. And like I was stating before, this human life is very rare. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, it's like a turtle in the ocean swimming around the whole ocean, and there happens to be a piece of wood in the ocean with a hole in the middle of the wood, and that turtle happens to pop his head up from the great ocean and put his head through the hole in the wood. How rare is that? So the rarity of someone taking to Krishna consciousness is like that. We see out of millions of people, only one person is interested in spiritual life. And out of those who take to spiritual life, as Krishna says, hardly one attains perfection. And we should realize that if we don't take to Krishna consciousness, then we're reaping the reaction for every activity we're performing in this world, karma. Srila Prabhupada says, even if you kill a little ant, you have to pay for that. Just like the story of Manduka Muni, he was in a cave meditating, and there were some thieves. They'd done a robbery, and they were trying to get away, and they came to his cave, and they decided to hide in the cave to get away. The police were chasing them. And the police, somehow they found out where the thieves were. They came to the cave and they arrested the thieves, and they also arrested Manduka Muni, thinking he was one of the thieves. And he was to be punished. And the punishment was that he was to be lanced with sharp iron tridents and killed. Very severe punishment. And he was pleading that he was innocent. He hadn't done anything wrong, and he was pleading with Yamaraj, "What have I done wrong?" And Yamaraj was stating that when you were a young boy, you pierced some ants. And Manduka Muni would say, "Well, I was only a young boy. I was innocent. I didn't know." And Yamaraj said, "Well, you still have to be punished." Fortunately, the king came along and released Manduka Muni just at the last moment before he was to be killed. But then he cursed Yamaraj to take birth as the son of a Sudrani. So he took birth as a Sudra. But of course, Yamaraj is such an elevated personality that he took birth as Vidura, such a great sage, and he taught the absolute truth, taught the great science of devotional service. So if such a great Muni like Manduka Muni, just for that little innocent activity of killing ants when he was a little boy, he was to be punished like that. What to speak of all the horrific sinful activities that people are performing, especially in Kali Yuga. People have no idea what their destination is, very horrific destination. And unless the devotees are very merciful and go out and preach Krishna consciousness and give them a chance to take one of Srila Prabhupada's books or take some prasadam or hear the holy name, and then all their past sinful activity is wiped clear, and they will again get a chance to engage in devotional service again and again. So we have to go out again and again and give people, the very unfortunate people, create their good fortune. Like Srila Prabhupada said, no, you don't have any good fortune. I've created your good fortune. No, we're all coming from very sinful backgrounds. Maybe a few pious people here from Bharatavasa, India. But most of us are engaging in so much sinful activity throughout our lives, so much horrific meat-eating, killing the cows, eating even cow flesh. I know, because I came from a beef farm, My father just breeding cows for slaughter every day, engaging in these activities. But I had no idea until I was 21 what a sinful activity that is. And Srila Prabhupada says, this activity of just killing the cows alone is the main sinful activity for most of the problems in the world that we're experiencing now. The reactions are very horrific in this life and the next. So Srila Prabhupada said, we're saving wholesale jaga and madais by spreading Krishna consciousness. 500 years ago there was only a few jaga and madais, but Kali Yuga is so much advanced, but practically 99% of the population are jaga and madais, engaging in eating all sorts of meat and taking all sorts of intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, practically from a young child. But Krishna consciousness is the transcendental white lotus of good fortune in which all living entities can attain perfection of life. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yasastra vinamutsuja parate kamakarata nasa siddham avapnoti nasukam na param gatim. He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So there's no question of people in this world, in Kali Yuga, even being happy or achieving, what to speak of achieving the perfection of life, Krishna consciousness, or what to speak of going back to the spiritual world without taking to devotional service, without engaging in loving service to Krishna. And we see people they're very morose, very distressed, very unhappy. And even, we meet people on the street and people are just coming out of the hotels, the pubs or the nightclubs. There's still an anxiety, even in those places of enjoyment. Still, they didn't really enjoy so much suffering, and the reaction goes on and on. But we see that to those who have taken to Krishna consciousness, they become very blissful, very peaceful, very happy, develop all good qualities. Automatically, the heart becomes purified. It's a very powerful process and very quickly one can become elevated in his understanding of who he is as a spirit soul, what his relationship is with Krishna, and what his real business is, and be situated in that real business of engaging in loving devotional service every day. Practically all of us just a few years ago, we were like beggars in the street, no understanding at all. But now, look at so many wonderful devotees a few years later, and they're fixed fully in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said like this, this is the real magic. One day he was with his disciples and there was a magician doing some magic tricks. And the devotees were laughing, and then the magician, he put a coin through Srila Prabhupada's ear and he pulled it out the other ear. And Srila Prabhupada was laughing and the devotees were thinking this is offensive to our spiritual master. And then the man, he finished his tricks, he sat down, and Srila Prabhupada said, "So, can you stop death?" And the man, very humbly, he was an Indian man, I believe, and he said, "No, Swamiji, I cannot do that." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, I'm giving this Krishna consciousness to these boys and girls, and by taking to Krishna consciousness, they're stopping death, and they're becoming eligible to go back to the spiritual world." And previously, you know, they're engaged in all sorts of sinful activity, and like Srila Prabhupada said, when he went to the West, he was thinking, as soon as he told people about these sinful activities, they would tell him to go home. But many, many people, they eagerly, very quickly, you know, gave up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and surrendered to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. This is the real, real magic. Even in the midst of Kali Yuga, the potency of this pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and the process of devotional service, even the most addicted, sinful person can easily give up these activities and fully come to his the understanding of Krishna's transcendental nature and the benefit of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. Simple process. Bhakti is the name, surrender is the game. So we just have to do everything with bhakti, with love. Try to tinge everything with that salve of love. Whether we're reading, we're hearing, we're chanting, we're mopping the temple room floors, we're engaging in kirtan, we're cooking an offering. We have to have this consciousness that I'm doing this to please Krishna, to love Krishna, to spread Krishna's glories. This is one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that, he said, "You should always remember me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With the activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will certainly attain me without doubt." Just talking about, again, about the, you know, the story of the magician. It was funny, yesterday we were distributing books in Swanston Street, and Gopal said, "Hey, is that..." There was a guy doing magic next to us, and he had a microphone, a sound system. He had a whole crowd around him, big, chubby guy. He had a shaved head and a hat on, and Gopal said, "Hey, is that guy a devotee?" He just said, "Hare Bol, Hare Krishna." And he said, "You know, like, you know, you'll get another chance to take another birth after this life." I thought, no, I'd never recognized him before. And I went up to him and he had neck beads on, and I went to introduce myself to him, and Yamaraj Krishna, I think it was, Yamaraj Krishna. He's a devotee from Dallas. And that's his expertise. He's a street performer, you know, doing magic work. But he's always like teaching the, you know, some of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, throwing in a Hare Bol and a Hare Krishna and you're an eternal soul and things like that. It was quite amazing, you know. I think he lives in Melbourne. He said he lives in Melbourne, and he said he comes to the temple here. So that was very nice to meet a person doing magic and tying in some philosophy of Krishna consciousness there. So yes, as much as possible, we have to fully immerse ourselves in Krishna consciousness for the brahmacharya. It's very simple. Simple path back home, back to Godhead. We ask the life's more complicated, many shades of grey. There's so much room for Maya and the Grihastha ashram. So if you can live a simple life and be brahmacharya, brahmacharini, then it's very nice. If you can stay like that your whole life, very good. But of course, nothing wrong with getting married if you have to get married. But at the same time, try and dovetail everything, even in your married life, with your wife and children in Krishna consciousness. So make your home a temple, have pictures all around the wall, have engaged in daily kirtan with the family in the house, invite sadhus to come and speak. And even if there is, you know, different maya and you have to do so many mundane things, by hosting the sadhus and having programs and constantly taking your family into the temple and preaching, then you'll be able to keep your head above water and stay fixed in remembering Krishna. So we have to, as much as possible, whatever ashram we're in, try to always remember the ultimate goal of life. Never forget Krishna, always remember Krishna. Nate vidur satam katim hi Vishnu. Because the materialistic people, they do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to remember Krishna, engage in his service, and return back home, back to Godhead. That as aspiring devotees, we understand this, and we're diligently trying to execute this process and perfect our lives. So as much as possible, all of you, it's very inspiring to see so many wonderful devotees here. Keep up this practice your whole life. Because Krishna says, Suchanam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Vijayate. Those who fall away from Krishna consciousness after or practice of yoga after short practice, they take birth in a family of aristocratic or rich mercantile people. But those who stick to Krishna consciousness or the practice of yoga, bhakti yoga, their whole lives, even if they don't reach perfection, they take birth in the family of devotees in their next life. So our life is very auspicious either way. Either we stick to Krishna consciousness, we're not completely perfect, we take birth in a family of devotees. Very wonderful, auspicious start, like these little kids here. Look at these little children, they're like attentively listening to the Bhagavatam for like an hour, chanting in the kirtan, some of them leading kirtan. One little boy yesterday, he came out in books with us, Krishna. Little boy Krishna, he's not here, is he? And he was selling books out there, trying very hard. So such a very fortunate position. And if we don't, and either we take birth in the family of devotees, or we may be very fortunate to go back to the spiritual world in one lifetime. Srila Prabhupada said, go back home, back to Godhead. We have to make this endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. Make a solution to all the problems of life, birth, death, old age and disease. And the biggest problem, forgetfulness of Krishna. Because that forgetfulness of Krishna means continued birth after birth for maybe millions of lifetimes, who knows how long. So, very fortunate, I encourage all of you, stick to this Krishna consciousness. There's no happiness in the material world. We should always remember our past position, that we were never happy. Don't again fall into the trap of trying to think or make an endeavor to pursue happiness in the material world. It's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? Sometimes you see the rainbow and you're driving in the car, you think you're getting closer, but it's always further and further away. Well, like Srila Prabhupada says, the animal in the desert, he sees the mirage, he thinks it's water, and he runs and he runs. He's very thirsty, and he never gets there, and he dies of thirst. So, Tathāla Shakati, that this happiness of love, friendship, and society, sense gratification, it's like a drop of water in the desert. If you're dying of thirst, someone comes with a syringe, they give you one drop of water on the tongue, what's that going to do? So the sense gratification is very insignificant. Pales in insignificance compared to the unlimited, anandam bodhivardhanam, the ever-increasing ocean of bliss and happiness of Krishna consciousness. And that's why we're all sticking to Krishna consciousness. Some devotees have been here 30, 40 years. Because even you getting a little taste is enough to sustain you, to keep you fixed in Krishna consciousness. So keep practicing Krishna consciousness as much as possible. Spread this wonderful mercy to our poor, unfortunate brothers and sisters out there. Be very merciful, very compassionate to them. Understand that they can also become very wonderful devotees just in a matter of days. Just like I was traveling in North Queensland a year ago, and we're in Bundaberg, and there was a little old lady. I was outside the bank, I had a book table set up, I had some pot of halibut and khichdi on the table to serve out and books there, and it was difficult. Some people were, you know, a lot of people were just walking by, but there was an old lady just sitting on the bench, and she had a kerchief over her head, old German lady. And I was thinking, well, she's really old. Usually old people, it's very tough to convince them to take a book. But I thought, well, you know, may as well try. And she, you know, I gave her about 3 hardcover books, and she gave like $100. And then I gave her a few more books, she gave another $100. She walked away with a big stack like that. And she got a cup of halibut and a cup of khichdi. So we just don't know who's going to take to Krishna consciousness, who's going to take these books. I was out west in New South Wales, and I went out to the back of Bourke, and was in one little town, Walgett, and there's a population of 2,000 people, and probably devotees don't get out there very much. But I was just going shop to shop, did some Harinam around the town, then shop to shop, and I came across this IGA supermarket, and it was all Gujarati Indians working there. And I showed each one the books. I was walking around the supermarket. They didn't mind me walking around the supermarket. I didn't even ask. I just started walking around, Madodi and Kurta. And one Indian, he like bought a few hardcovers. He gave $100, and another one gave $100. About four of them gave $100 each. And then they said, "Can you do kirtan outside the supermarket?" So they asked me to do kirtan outside the supermarket, and they were like videoing. So, you know, wherever you go, Krishna makes wonderful, wonderful arrangements. One time I was here in Melbourne, and I was going down to Geelong, and I got there a bit late, and I was thinking, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to get motivated at the end of the day. I was with Dhruva from Brisbane, and he'd been down there all day, and I thought, let me go and have a look at the spiritual bookshop there, and maybe they'll take some books. And the guy was really interested, and he took like 2,000 worth of books, like all the books, all Prabhupada's books, kids' books, cookbooks, incense, CDs. So we just have to have the endeavor and be sincere and be wanting to really help people out there. And Krishna makes all the arrangements. And don't be attached to the result. Think that, no, Krishna's the doer. I'm just his instrument. Kamani eva vikaraste ma palesho kadachana. Ma phala kama hetabu ma te sangosava kamana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty of serving Krishna, but you're not entitled to the result. The result's for Krishna's pleasure. Never consider yourself the cause of the result. Krishna's the cause. And never be attached to not doing your duty. Just like Arjuna was thinking, you know, I can't fight. These are my cousins and brothers or military teachers, and I'm going to run away to the forest. Krishna said, you're a military man. You cannot run away. You'll be considered a coward. No, that would be considered worse than death. So we cannot run away from our duty. Our duty is to serve Krishna, to preach Krishna consciousness. We can't run away and think, I'm just going to go to the Himalayas and I don't care about these people, I only care about my own spiritual advancement. That verse is in the seventh canto. Prahlad Maharaj said, I see many saintly people, they're going to the Himalayas, they're only interested in their own spiritual advancement. But I'm more interested to go to the big cities and towns where millions of people are suffering due to lack of Krishna consciousness, and bringing them all back home, back to Gaudiya. So, take advantage as much as possible while we have this human life and we have some health and life, because human life goes very quickly. Many of us, we joined, we were 20, 22, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Now the body is 50, 60. Another 20 years, we may not be here. So while we have this opportunity, fully immerse yourselves in practicing Krishna consciousness and preaching Krishna consciousness. Fully benefit yourself and become inspired by the association of other devotees, and as much as possible, preach Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada has given us the most powerful ways to spread Krishna consciousness, to increase Krishna's family, is by distributing his books, distributing prasadam, distributing the holy name, just like the Harinam Rich team. Very ecstatic, very wonderful team of surrendered devotees going all around the world, preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing the holy names, giving out books, and very enlivening. So we're very, very fortunate to have them in our midst right here. And the other week we're up at Gold Coast, and they were doing the schoolies, all the schoolie kids coming out, thousands of them, and many of them like just spontaneously dancing, and a lot of them chanting in the kirtan party with the devotees. It's very wonderful to see. So, and if you have the opportunity, like some of these young boys, Jeev Jaga, Urugai, Babu, they're traveling around with the devotees, take advantage. If you can just run away from Melbourne and go and preach and travel with these boys, then take a week or two off. It's a very nice experience. Of course, many of you have responsibilities, so you can't just leave like that, but if you have some time off, some holidays. So thank you very much for your association for allowing us to come here to Melbourne Mahabharata Mandir. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes, Bhakti Mahabharata.
You were talking about karma and how this voting was quick in the little hand. Should we be worried about the previous karma that we've had?
We shouldn't be worried about it. We should be obviously remorseful, but at the same time, don't get worried because we should understand by surrendering to this process of Krishna consciousness, surrendering unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, all that past karma is wiped clear. So we don't have to worry about it. Even a little small activity like killing an ant, and even the greater sinful activities we've done are completely wiped clear by one stroke of sincere devotional service. So we shouldn't be living our life in worry and fear for our past activities. But at the same time, be very humble and think, well, you know, I'm coming from a very low background and I'm not an advanced devotee. I need all the help I can get. I need all association I can get to keep me fixed in Krishna consciousness, because my senses can lead me astray at any moment. Should be very, very careful. Is that okay? Yes.
Another question, you were talking about tapasya and sense gratification. So sometimes some services, they're very austere, but at the same time, there's kind of, you get really ecstatic from doing it, you get kind of some sense gratification. So how does that balance out? You know, like if you're doing it, you know, you're doing something austere, but you're doing it for the wrong reason, like because you're getting something out of it instead of doing it just to please Krishna.
Well, gradually by becoming purified and following this process, and that motivation will be more for Krishna's pleasure and not for your own selfish desire, you know. Like, you're right, sometimes we may perform devotional service because we want some recognition or want some name and fame. Look at me, I'm a, you know, good kirtan leader, or I'm distributing a lot of books or cooking nice offerings. We, you know, may get proud and hope for recognition, but that's not the right attitude, definitely, and we should always be thinking, I'm doing this just to please Krishna, to please my spiritual master, and by getting purified gradually, we'll get free from those anattas, those unwanted desires and motivations, and we'll come to the platform where we're always thinking how to please Krishna more, how to please my spiritual master, how to benefit other people. Anyone else? Any ladies? Any questions? I can't remember. I heard it the other day from one devotee in Yugovardhan, but I remember reading it somewhere, maybe Srimad Bhagavatam, if anyone knows. The story of the turtle putting its head through the log in the ocean, do you know where it comes from? I'm not sure. Somewhere in Prabhupada's books. Anything else? Thank you very much. Please forgive me. I didn't mean that everyone should run away and leave their service and their family. Only if you're travelling brahmachari like Jeev Jagger, and you have the authorization of your temple president to go and travel sometime. I just wasn't worded correctly. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Riparaganath Prabhu Ji Jai.